What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Life at Disney podcast. This is the show where you'll discover what it's like to be part of the story at the Walt Disney Company. And I'm Cassie, your host for this episode. This season of Life at Disney, we're taking you to our offices across the globe and sharing employee stories from all around the world, from South America to Asia to Europe. We're so happy to have you along for the journey. In this episode, we're excited to be heading back to Asia to speak with two amazing employees. Our first guest, Tiffany, sits all the way in Tokyo, Japan. Tiffany is a human resources business partner, or HRBP for short. From a young age, Tiffany has always been a huge Disney fan and has created some of her fondest memories at our parks. And now, in her HRBP role, she partners closely with our leaders on all things HR to achieve their business and organizational goals. As an HR professional myself, I'm so excited to learn more about her role and what it's like to work in Tokyo. Welcome to the show, Tiffany. We're so glad you could join us today.
Thank you, Cassie. And I just want to thank you for having me on this podcast today.
Yes, amazing. And, you know, for those that don't know, Tiffany's based in Tokyo, which is 19 hours ahead of where I'm based here in Hawaii. So, Tiffany, thank you for joining us from the future.
My pleasure.
Really excited to learn about you and your role as an HRBP. It's really cool because I don't think a lot of people realize that we have a awesome HRBP team in Japan. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you do?
Sure. So like you said, a lot of people don't know that we have a Japan Walt Disney office aside from the parks that we have here. So we're based in central Tokyo. We have, you know, a lot of the same touch points that you have in the U.S. Like for speaking in terms of the Walt Disney APAC, we have different segments like Disney Entertainment, ESPN, obviously the Disney parks and products. And for 100 years, Disney storytellers have created some of the most beloved stories and characters in the world, including in APAC. And we have all different touch points like film, we have streaming, we also have television, live events, digital, home entertainment, content distribution, spanning, you know, different things like Pixar, Marvel, Lucasfilm, ESPN, and 20th Century Studios. And I think it's unique that in Japan, it's actually one of the markets outside of the U.S. where we have all of these touch points, including the Tokyo Disneyland Resort, which is Disneyland and Disney Sea.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that is such a huge scope for, I can imagine it's like a tag team, a small tag team of HR business partners. Earlier, you mentioned APAC. Can you tell the audience a little bit more about what that means and what else that covers?
Sure. So APAC, we have various different locations. Obviously, we have Japan, we have ANZ, which we call, you know, Australia and New Zealand. We have our Korea offices, our Southeast Asia offices, China. Yeah, we have all these locations and we work very closely across APAC and across, you know, different divisions as well.
Oh my God, that is so exciting. And I'm so glad you could join us to shed some light on that region. I think you guys do some of the coolest work and we are seeing there's a lot of growth as well in our international and APAC teams. How did you get into this HR business partner role with Disney?
So actually, it's a dream come true for me, literally, because ever since I was little, like my family, my friends, and I think some of my close colleagues here at Disney know me as an avid Disney fan. So eventually, even when I was little, I wanted to work for Disney in one way or in another. It was either that or becoming an archaeologist, which didn't happen, but very different, you know, on the scale. But as I continued into the world of human resources in 2022, so I guess almost 2 years ago, I got a job offer from Walt Disney Japan for an HR business partner position. And I was skipping with joy when I got the offer letter.
Awesome. And I think, you know, what's cool about being HR business partner at Disney is that I feel like we do HR in such a unique way, right? We have so many unique businesses, right? Can you tell us a little bit more about what the day-to-day life looks like as a HR business partner and what are some of your favorite projects?
So I think it's hard to describe the HRBP role in just one sentence because there's so many different aspects to it. But I think the easiest way to think of us is an HR professional who partners closely with the different divisions. And basically, we're the main point of contact for all things HR related. And our goal is to also help them achieve their business goals. So in my role, for example, I support the APAC Senior Vice President, CFO, to the Japan Disney Plus General Manager, We have our integrated marketing executive director, as well as local contents executive director. And the list goes on. But we partner with them to help them achieve their business and organizational goals, while also playing the role of employee advocate so that we can ensure that our employees' voices are heard too. But on a day-to-day basis, I would say it's very different. One day I could be helping an employee solve their professional or even personal concern, or I would be interviewing a candidate or giving career advice. So it's very exciting because every day is different as an HR VP.
Yeah, I love that. So you're right alongside the business leaders, making sure that the company is doing well, but also that the employees are doing well and the culture, and you're there for them. So really that bridge between our business goals and our employee goals, really. So I love the way you put that. Do you have any exciting projects coming up? Anything you want to share in terms of like what's going on in the HR world?
I think one of the most exciting or I think crucial projects that we always have ongoing is definitely headcount planning. So we work closely with the leaders that I mentioned before on identifying current and future resourcing needs. And then it's our job to work with finance to make sure we have the budget for that. So I don't know if, it's as exciting as it sounds to me, but it's definitely a crucial role, part of what I do, actually.
Yeah, I love that. You're really looking at the growth of the company and how we can staff our teams and make sure we're set up for success. So you're really like the backbone, right, of this company. And I'm sure it's like you're working in the shadows, behind the scenes, making sure that their business are thriving. So I really love that. So I want to talk more about the team there in Tokyo, right? You mentioned to me before that's a small team. I see you actually have the same name tag too, but I know there's something unique with yours. So if you could share with us.
So I don't know if you can tell, but it on the name tag, it has my last name as opposed to first names in the US. I've noticed that parks, you have first name. In Japan, we have our last names just because of the cultural difference. We usually address people by their last names. And sometimes you'd address someone by their first name if you get close to them, or especially if you have like a foreign name, like myself, like Tiffany. Initially, I thought my name tag might read Tiffany, but it came as Hasegawa, and I thought that was really interesting.
I love that there's a blend of the Japanese culture and the Disney culture there for your team. Can you tell us a little bit more about what it's like to work in Tokyo with your team there?
I think for the HR team, we have a pretty small team. We only have 4 business partners, 4 HR VPs based in Tokyo. We have a lot of the center of excellence. We have a lot of different teams within Japan as well. And I think what you don't see behind the scenes when you're dealing with an HRBP is that there's a lot of teams behind the HRBP in the background helping the HRBP to solve employees' concerns. For example, HRBPs are usually not experts in payroll. So whenever we get a payroll-related question from an employee, we usually work with the payroll team in the back. And then we go back to address the employees' concerns.
Got it. So there's a bigger team behind you all, behind the HRBP that you're partnering with to address questions as they come in. So I know you talked about wanting to be an archaeologist, right, earlier, and how you found your way to HR. What was the thing that made you think, I love this business partner world? And what keeps you motivated? Because I'm sure, right, every day looks different and you're faced with new things all the time. Want to hear a little bit about that and what motivates you in your role?
I would have to say that every day is a learning experience. It's very different day to day. What motivates me is the people, basically. It's as simple as that. I love working with people. I love kind of helping people solve their problems or any concerns that they may have. And I think that's what got me into this whole human resources world. It's not like I chose to become a human resources professional, but I just happened to step into the world when I first started working, and it just felt right from the very beginning. So most of my career has actually been in in-house HR, but mostly in the finance industry. So being in an entertainment company like Disney is my first time. But actually, I think, Cassie, you have an HR background too. So I think you may agree that a lot of the HR skills are transferable. So even if I spent more time in finance industry, I found that the transition to Disney was pretty smooth. And I think the finance industry really prepped me well for Disney in terms of the diversity. And, you know, Disney is a pretty fast-paced company as well, so similar to the finance industry. So I felt, even though it was my first time coming into the entertainment industry, it was a very smooth transition for me.
I completely agree with you. I think what I found is that people who are drawn to Disney really care about the people. Even in like past conversations I've had with the other hosts on this podcast, what keeps us at Disney are the people. What motivates us to bring our best selves and make magic are those moments where we can make someone's day brighter or help someone on their career. And I totally agree. Nothing fulfills me more than knowing that it helps someone get on the right path or I help them bring their best self to work. So I love that. And I'm sure too, you talked about APAC being a large region. What does that interaction look like with the other countries that are within that scope?
We have a lot of interaction with our APAC colleagues, especially as an HRBP. We, you know, share best practices. Sometimes if the division that we cover has different teams within APAC or in the US, we usually collaborate with our US HRBPs or APAC HRBPs to, you know, talk about headcount and talent succession, talent development, compensation, promotion, and things like that. So I actually speak with my APAC counterparts on a daily basis. Even with our US HRBPs, I think I have a call with them, you know, once a while. Yeah.
That is so cool. And I know you mentioned our Disney 100 celebration. We're celebrating these past 100 years of great storytelling. Tell us more about how you guys celebrated that huge milestone with the company.
So D100 last year was definitely a very exciting time as an employee, especially as a huge fan myself. It's such a huge milestone. I don't think, frankly speaking, a lot of companies get to reach that milestone. So it's a very special milestone for all of us. When Mickey and Minnie came to our APAC town hall in their D100 outfits, everyone went crazy and we all got to take photos with them. And that was a very exciting moment for us. We also had a really cute kind of platinum Mickey statue that we had in our client space, like our reception area, for a few weeks. And we all got to take photos with our name tags and the art that we, all of us got celebrating the D100. I think that was a lot of fun.
I love that. You talk about the HR business partner role and how every day can be different. And I feel like you being there in Tokyo, that gives an extra layer of complexity. Right. So I would love to hear, especially for any HR aspiring professionals out there, what are some of the biggest lessons you've learned in your HR career?
So what I've learned at Disney is that at a large company like this, you can always put your hand up and step up and really grow your career. There's so many opportunities for a huge learning curve. And when I started my journey at Disney 2 years ago, I wouldn't have imagined that I would be working so closely with senior management, but at the same time, being so close to the business and the employees. And I feel like it's all about putting up and applying yourself in everything that you do. And by being close to the leaders and the employees, I've really learned about the business more. And it's really fun, especially as a Disney fan myself, to see what goes on behind the scenes. That in itself is very motivating for me as well. So I would have to say that the last 2 years at Disney probably equates to maybe like 4 to 5 years of learning curve with any other company that I've ever been with in the past.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. We've seen so many changes here at Disney. I think we always say that the only constant here is change, you know, and that's really brought a lot of great learning opportunities for our team members, for our fellow employees around the globe. So that resonates with me. Is there any advice you have out there for people who love to be in a role like yours in Tokyo or as an HR business partner?
I think as an HR business partner, and in any role, actually, I'm a true believer in surrounding yourself with mentors or colleagues that are supportive and give you a positive outlook on things, but at the same time, giving you candid feedback about your skills and your career. So I was fortunate enough to surround myself with a lot of people like that in the past. And I think that's eventually what led me to becoming an HRBP as well as, you know, to Disney as well. And kind of circling back on my point earlier, I think it's all about stepping outside of your comfort zone. It's really easy to stay in your comfort zone, but when I joined Disney 2 years ago, actually my coverage area as an HRBP was still undecided at that time, but our HR management, my colleagues, and also our division leaders really believed in me, and it's really helped me to grow in the last couple of years.
We've talked about the past 100 years being such a huge accomplishment and exciting. Is there anything the next 100 that you're excited about for Disney or you'd love to see happen with the company?
I would have to say that the last 100 years have brought so much magic, so much pixie dust to people all around the world. And it's very rare for a single company to be able to have the impact that in the same way that Disney has with our consumers. So I hope that we can continue to do that in the next century and even in the following century and so on. But personally speaking, I'm looking forward to seeing a lot more content come to life on Disney Plus. Recently, I've been watching Shogun, which is a huge hit globally. I'm always on the edge of my seat whenever the episode ends. But I also can't wait to see Gannibal. So that's actually an original local content that we have in Japan. And the first season was extremely popular last year. So I really can't wait to see that as well. And also the Disney cruise coming to Singapore next year. I've never been on a Disney cruise and it's definitely on the top of my bucket list. So I think being, you know, having that access much closer in Asia will be a huge, huge thing for a lot of Disney fans.
Oh my gosh, no, I totally agree. So, you know, I'm curious now, I'm just going to steal this question from a fellow podcast host, Stephen, thank you. What is your earliest memory with Disney?
My earliest memory with Disney actually is when I was two, I've been told by my parents, because I only remember like glimpses of it. And my first memory was at Disney World, actually. And I remember I was in a stroller in midsummer in Florida, humid, hot. And I remember feeling kind of miserable, but I was on the stroller and Goofy came up and he kind of sat on my stroller. And I still remember the weight of Goofy sitting on my lap. Obviously, he didn't, you know, sit down all the way, but as a two-year-old, I think it was quite heavy. And that memory is still very vivid in my mind.
Yeah. Oh, that is so funny. Oh, so you went to Walt Disney World when you were 2 years old. I actually went for the first time this year. So do you get out to the parks outside of the APAC region much?
I try to as much as possible. I'm going to, well, this is APAC, but I'm going to Hong Kong Disneyland next week, actually, which I'm very excited for, doing all my research on where to eat and things like that. And actually, I'm going to Walt Disney World later this year. But last September, I went to Anaheim. I've also stayed at Aulani. So I think I have Paris and Shanghai and the Disney cruise left to go once I, you know, check off Hong Kong next week.
Oh my God, that's so cool. You've almost done them all. So, you know, since you've been with Disney now the past 2 years, do you have a new favorite memory since joining the company?
Since joining the company, I have to be honest that almost every day is a new favorite memory. But you know, even before I joined Disney, even as an adult, Disney plays such a huge, important part in my life. My mother basically raised me on Disney. Even as an adult, my husband proposed to me at Disney World. So that's definitely one of my favorite memories. Like I mentioned earlier, I go to all the live entertainment. I watch a lot of content. I try to squeeze all of this in between our busy, you know, professional lives, but every day is definitely a dream come true for me.
Oh my gosh, it's those magical moments that really matter. And have you always been based in Japan, like your whole HR career?
I have, actually. I was born and raised in Japan to an American father and a Korean mother. I went to international school. I went to NYU and studied hospitality and tourism management, as well as media communication. So I have a pretty multilingual, multicultural background. But, you know, working for Disney, being such a diverse company, I feel like I could bring all sides of that of myself at work. And it's been really exciting being able to do that.
Yeah. So are you trilingual, if that's the right word? Like, do you speak three languages?
Unfortunately, no, I don't speak Korean because my mother was also born and raised here. I always, you know, tell her she should have learned Korean so that she could have taught me how to speak Korean. But unfortunately, I can only speak English and Japanese. Those are my two first languages.
That's pretty cool. So, oh my gosh. Well, I feel like, you know, as an HR business partner too, like we've talked about it earlier, how there are things that don't seem exciting to others, right? Like you're working behind the scenes. There's like headcount planning, annual operating plans, which also AKA AOP, right? And all of that, like things we do in HR. How would you say like how that work is done here at Disney differs from all of the work that you, like similar work you've done before coming to the company?
I don't really see a huge difference, to be honest, with the way things have been done in the previous companies that I've been with. But I would have to say that the closeness that I have with our leaders and our employees is definitely stronger. Like the bond is stronger. I know Disney is a huge company. We have a lot of leaders. We have a lot of employees. And that was the same in a lot of the finance companies that I've been with. But the relationship that I have with our leaders and employees right now are much closer. I don't know if it's the whole Disney magic pixie dust. I can't really put a finger on it, but there's a lot more communication that goes on with our leaders here.
Yeah, the collaboration, right? I think we always talk about at Disney, our secret sauce is collaboration, right? And we just have so many different teams and businesses. And so I think that makes it different for me too in my role, right? I totally agree.
It must be collaboration and storytelling. I think those two words are, you hear a lot within the company.
Well, thank you so much, Tiffany, for joining us, sharing with us about your day-to-day work, your personal story. And I just loved everything and how it ties back all your core memories with Disney. So thank you so much for your time. I had a great time talking with you today.
Thank you so much, Cassie. Thanks once again for having me on this podcast.
That was Tiffany, HRBP based in Tokyo, Japan. And like I said, this season we've gone global and are speaking to some incredible employees all around the world. So now we're taking you over to Shanghai, China to meet Pauline, our VP of Creative over the Asia Pacific region. Pauline's Disney journey started back in 2017 as a senior manager in fashion creative. And now as a VP, she brings her world-class vision to lead creative product development across an impressive portfolio of brands and franchises. Clearly, I'm a huge fan of our Disney products. So let's get into it. Pauline, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for making the time while you're traveling.
Well, thank you for the invite. It's, I'm very nervous because the only podcast I know is Murders in the Building. So I'm hoping it's not that kind of a podcast.
Hey, that is a great show. You know, I watch on Hulu all the time. I'm not cut up yet, but we'll have to talk about that sometime off camera for sure. I know you mentioned you're based in Shanghai, but your team is truly global. You span multiple countries. Can you tell us more about your scope as the VP and the creative mastermind behind this Asia Pacific or APAC, right, as we call it, creative development team?
So, like you mentioned, my role actually covers APAC, Asia Pacific, and I take care of creative development. Well, mine and my team, we take care of Asia Pacific creative development across all of our Disney brands, right? So Disney, Pixar, Princess, Marvel, Lucasfilm, 20th Century, and National Geographic. So I actually double hat also as the creative lead for the globe on National Geographic and The Simpsons. So my team actually, they sit across, you know, all of our different offices. We have team members in Shanghai. We have team members in Tokyo, in Korea, in Seoul, and also Singapore. So it's also, you know, part of the roadshow. It's also just to, you know, get to see your team and work with them, collaborate with them on site. So that's exciting.
And, you know, I didn't mention this earlier at the beginning of the show, but this is actually going to be our first episode with the APAC team. So we're really excited to get your unique perspective and really would love to know, what is your favorite part about working for Disney outside of Shanghai?
I love working in Shanghai office because, it's so diverse, right? I'm myself, you know, I've lived everywhere a little bit. And you know, so have my team members and also our colleagues, you know, people in the office. You have multiple nationalities. You have a very diverse group of talents right there. So I would walk around the office and come across, you know, people from all different regions of China, Greater China, US, Tokyo. So it's a really diverse pool of talents that you get to meet and just, you know, you get to know their cultures through these people. It's also really exciting because we have such a diverse category group types that we work on, right? So in the Shanghai office, at any moment, you could be working on something like gold or coconuts or fashion or, you know, rice dumplings or even hot pots. So it's really a diverse, dynamic place to be.
I heard you say earlier, like communication and collaboration. So those things are key on your team. So what does that partnership look like for your APAC team and your collaborators across the globe?
So we're all caretakers of our brands, right? So our main mission is to create the most amazing storytelling creatives for products and experiences, right? So that's really our mission. Everything we do, every piece of graphic, every piece of retail spatial design or branding and packaging, or just graphic design, character art, all that, you know, all of the functions within our team, their output is creative. That's going to find its way or come to life onto products and also, you know, experiences, whether it's retail, whether it's online, offline, you know, experiences in general. So it's exciting to, you know, work with collaborators like product design experts, you know, the best world in class experts at business, all different kinds of lines of businesses that we really get to collaborate with. And that's the fun part of our job.
Yeah, I love the way you said that. You said caretakers of the brand, and we definitely do very much care about our brand and hold those things near and dear to our heart. And you yourself, you've had such a storied career with Disney so far. You know, I would love to hear more about your journey with the company and how you got to where you are today.
I'd love to share the story. So once upon a time, let's start with the story. It's roughly 6 years ago. A friend of mine just, you know, she was super excited. She was like, hey, you know, I just saw the perfect job listing for you. Turns out Disney was looking for a fashion design lead for the consumer products Greater China team. At that moment, you know, I didn't really understand what that meant because usually from an outsider, right, you don't, when people say Disney, you think of, oh, you know, am I going to be designing costumes for the parades in the parks? I had to find out, right, well, what's this about? And also because I come from a fashion design background, right? So when the role says fashion design combined with Disney, it's like, well, what could go wrong? So I had to find out more about this role. And after interviews, a lot of patience, a little bit of magic, I became a Disney cast member. And then from there, because I started from consumer products, right, both focused on the fashion category, with each sort of round of the company's evolution of our org, I've had the opportunity to grow and expand my role, my job scope. So from consumer products, fashion focused, I went on to lead more categories, again, still within the Greater China region. From there, I hopped onto a role to lead product design for Asia Pacific region. And then shortly after that, or 2 years after that, I came into my current role, which is to lead creatives across both our licensed and owned and operated businesses for the Asia Pacific region. So it's a little bit of a story of how I came into this role.
Yeah, and it's grown over time. Sounds like you guys have a large scope of, it's really fascinating to like hear the different ways. And I heard you say fashion, and of course, in my research, I know you come from a luxury fashion design background. How does that experience affect or translate into the way you're inspired to do your work with Disney?
I had the opportunity to work on both the luxury side of fashion, but then also when I was in China, when I first came to China, actually, I got to work for very local Chinese brands, still in fashion. So I sort of have that both sides of it. And you can, you know, I did a participate in a fashion show in, you know, third tier cities in China. But then also, you know, my background is from luxury, as you mentioned, you know, in Paris and London, New York, all that good stuff. It was really fun to have that dynamic sort of experience for me, because then you get to understand more about, well, where is this licensee coming from? You know, because they might need to worry about their production, which is a different sort of dynamic than what you would find in Europe in the luxury segment. And also, luxury really helped me to, I think, stay focused, right? When you're in a company, you know, in those luxury segments, you are super hyper-focused on your expertise. Whereas in other companies, you know, you get to do more, like a wider scope of responsibilities. But in luxury, you're just so focused and you get to really hone in on your skills then.
Yeah. So it's like you really, you've seen a wide variety, right? You have the high-end luxury and then you have the more local brands, and you're able to put that into the storytelling you do through design at Disney. And I love how you said about focus, right? Because with a brand as big as Disney, right, there's so many things you can do, like unlimited possibilities, but being able to like hold in on one thing and a purpose, I think that is not easy to do. So like props to you on that. Kudos. Something I want to ask is, what projects or designs do you hold close to your heart?
I would pick one of the first projects I worked on when I first joined. It was a collaboration with Disney and the Shanghai Fashion Week. So we in collaboration, we picked 10 local up-and-coming talents, designers, and, you know, had them interpret what was Disney to them. I think that probably was the first ever fashion show that was on the official calendar, at least in the Asia Pacific region. But please don't quote me on that, I think. Yeah, and you know, we had conversations with these designers and just say, hey, what inspires you? In the end, the theme that ran across all of these interpretations, right, creative visions, was, you know, these designers looked back into Disney's past, China's history. They combined the two and used their present, which is their skills, and then, you know, brought Disney, I think, into the future with their vision. So it was a really interesting, you know, sort of project to see it from A to Z, from beginning to end, because you got to see things through their eyes. So that was really interesting. And in the end, you get to see this project come to life. And even though it was just for a couple minutes, it was Disney's story shining, you know, through these young talents, their vision, and just, you know, on that catwalk, I think that project really energized me and just got me to think, you know, what else is possible? Yeah, so that was the most memorable.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. And I feel like Disney does do a great job of representing legacy and bring us forward into just the next 100 years. How does it feel for you seeing some of these designs like out on like for our guests, for our fans?
Well, again, I come back to, you know, just the power of Disney, not just because it's a big company, right? It's got so much, we can celebrate the heritage, we can celebrate the history, all the stories from the past. But then it's really, you know, Walt Disney's spirit of pushing boundaries and just challenging status quo, challenging, you know, everything that you could. I'm excited also, you know, again, to echo your sentiment, I'm excited to see Disney in the next 100 years. And, I got into fashion because I wanted to see things, you know, that came out of my brain or my ideas, and just, you know, somebody wearing it, parading it down the street. How cool is that? And now in Disney, you get to see even more of that, right? Disney can touch so so many more consumers. So I think it's really that power that just fascinates me. And, you know, again, it keeps me going here.
Well, you know, I think with creative minds like you at the helm, I know there's amazing, even more amazing things to come. And something that you mentioned earlier too, and I've noticed time and time with Disney, is that every creative decision is made with such thought and intention. Nothing is really by mistake, right? There is a story to be told. Walk us through that creative process and where you pull inspiration for your work.
I think inspiration comes from anywhere, you know, anyone, anywhere. And I really do mean that. You know, it sounds kind of corny, but we always look at, you know, try to observe our consumers, right? What's going on in their lives? What's going on across our cultures? So we always try to stay, I guess, fingers on the pulse. So that way, whatever we're doing really reflects that moment in time and, you know, for our consumers and what they need or what they might need. So it's, you know, I think it comes back to people for me. It's really observing people that inspires me.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. And you talked about diversity, inclusivity, and we have a global audience here at the company. And to know that we can look into the company and feel just that we're just as diverse and have these voices, stories being shared and different memories that people can cling on to and relate to, not only in going to a park or a resort, but through the merchandise, through our movies. And, you know, you mentioned this earlier, talking about your team and how amazing they are. And, you know, you're an executive leader at Disney. So not only do you lead strategy, creative design, you lead a team of leaders and just a large team overall. What are some of those key qualities you think contribute to the success of your team?
Key qualities that we tend to look for is optimism, passion, and just, you know, the curiosity to keep pushing boundaries and just challenging challenging, you know, our visions from before, and, you know, always trying to tell new innovative stories or in innovative ways that's never been told before. So that's really what I look for when it comes to our team members.
Yeah. So how do you guys keep the creative juices flowing, right? Is there like development opportunities for your team? How do you keep honing your craft?
So I've always been a believer in the right person, the right time, doing the right thing, right? It sounds easy, but it's really about, I think, building a culture of what we call spark, right? We have to inspire each other to be the best version of ourselves and just inspire overall, inspire each other overall. And I think as a leader, it's really our job to be the support system for our team members, right? When there are challenges, we need to help them remove those roadblocks so that they can shine brighter at what they love the most. Right. And, you know, it's difficult to find your path to really know what you want, what you're really passionate about, and to match that with what you're good at or what your skills could be developed at. So I think it's also about, you know, helping each other just be on that journey with them, with the team member, as they're finding out their path. And in terms of developing, or helping a team member develop their career, I don't think there is one way. You know, there's a couple of different ways, right? Some team member might want to grow is more vertically, right? They have one focus. They just want to keep honing at it. So we could also support them to do that, right? To clear their path and just help them to stay laser focused. There are some team members who actually prefer to work on multiple different things and one day hopefully to manage you know, talents across multiple different disciplines. So it's more like growing, I guess, horizontally. So taking more responsibilities that's different than just that one skill, one function. So if that's the case, then we need to help him or her just become more well-rounded. And also maybe a people manager, right? On top of being a great creative. So, you know, that's just two ways to help, or support a team member to grow. And there's not one way that fits all, right, when it comes to especially creatives.
We talk a lot about growth at Disney. It's not just a ladder. It's like a web, right? And this is one of the companies where you could have multiple types of careers, right? Different types of jobs, something to learn, always going back and pulling knowledge you've learned in a role into your current one. And that's something I love at Disney. What is one of your favorite lessons that you've learned on your journey so far?
Definitely stay flexible. At the same time, just I would say be a relentless optimist, right? If you want something, you work super hard at it, but at the same time, you need to believe that it's possible and just, you know, remember to have fun, because otherwise, why Disney, right?
Oh my gosh, I love that. You know, if there's anything I am, my parents would agree, I'm relentless. So that's no surprise to anyone. And I love the way you said it. It's like, bet on yourself, right? Bet on your learning and your growth. And there is something that was said to me that always sticks with me is when you perceive an opportunity that you may not get or is a door closing, don't think about it as like, oh, that's a loss. Really, it's making room for what you're meant to do and where there's that opportunity, right? It's like, that's not meant for you. You said it, you know, right place, right time, right person. You know, I'm sure we're going to have a lot of listeners that are inspired by this conversation that might want to follow in your creative footsteps. What advice do you have for them?
You know, work hard, stay focused, as we mentioned, but also build relationships. You know, learn from those with experience, but at the same time, you know, generate, have your own thoughts and just be open to communicate, to share with others, because you never know where the next conversation or collaboration can take you.
Yeah, oh my gosh. And your team definitely would know about that. You span multiple time zones, countries, so... Yes, I'm sure you guys have communication and collaboration on lock. So I really love that. And so, you know, talk about the creative side again. And I really, a lot of what you said resonated. And I feel like a lot of creatives just want an environment where they can let their ideas flourish and they can innovate and they can create, right? And on that topic of innovation, we talked about Disney 100 year celebration and how we've had it amazing. Innovation, but what are you looking forward to most in the next 100 years with Disney?
I think it comes back to, right, innovation in itself. That word is to just find different ways to tell a story, right? And whether it's through technology or experiences. So it's really a Walt Disney spirit, right? To push boundaries. And I just look forward to, you know, having that next wow moment where, you know, we can wow ourselves, we can wow our more audiences and more consumers around the world.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I mean, we do love a good little scoop, right? So, I mean, are there any exciting projects you want us to keep our eyes out for? Anything to look forward to?
I think, you know, as a company, we've identified pets as a real potential area of growth, right? So currently I'm working on with the team and our leaders to just look at this category more strategically, right? Have a vision so that we can reach more parents with our Disney stories. Yeah, so that's the secret, not so secret project that we're working on right now.
Oh my god, I know that is going to be a hit. There are so many animal lovers out in the world, but also at Disney.
Disney has always done pets, right? I think we've always been at the forefront, so it's always been there, but I think, again, it's just time that we really look at this as a, not just like a capsule collection sort of opportunity, but it's a real business opportunity, because there's all kinds of categories that we can push or we can grow in. So timeline, it's a ever-evolving timeline, I would say. But we are going to try and focus on just a big all-around push very soon. So stay tuned.
Well, my love language is gifts. So I love to buy gifts. And clearly, not only am I buying gifts for myself, but for my loved ones. So knowing that there's more pet merch, I can't wait to see it. And earlier, you know, I want to go back to this term you said, capsule collection. Can you talk to us more about what that means versus what the opposite might be?
Yeah. Let me give you an example. Right, for Disney consumer products, coming back to consumer products, you might find something Mickey and Gucci, right? So that might be a smaller collection, or what we call capsule collection. It's also what we call internally a halo project, right? It's really that top of the pyramid. You want to keep it special. You want to keep it sometimes exclusive. So we call that a capsule collection. versus, you know, with other partners or licensees, or even in our owned and operated channels, right? In Disney Store, we might do something that's, you know, that speaks to a wider audience. So it's really, capsule is something you want to keep just for a short period of exclusivity time or a certain audience, and then just to maybe start from there and see where it evolves and takes us to. So it's a short but high speed, high visibility, I guess, focus program. And then you also have the other, also very interesting, on the other end of the spectrum, sort of projects that speaks to a bigger audience.
So like the capsule collection, would that be like the Disney 100, where we have like the ears and—
Exactly.
So does your team work right near the park in Shanghai?
Actually, in Shanghai, we have a couple of different offices, and my team specifically, we are in the center of the city. So not right next to the castle, but we also make magic from the other campus.
I've never been out there to the park, but I hope to go soon. And you best believe I'm going to buy ears. I'm going to get the merch. I'm going to commemorate the visit. So
you got to come. Shanghai Park, it's unique, right? We have Tron. We have Zootopia.
I know. I heard. So, I mean, is there anything for Zootopia and all that?
From 24 months ago, I would say our team started working on just all kinds of different stylized creatives to get the market excited about Zootopia. Yeah, so you're going to see a lot of different new styles. Maybe some are, you know, high shadow, high contrast. Some are just really cute and, you know, fluffy. And some are just, you know, very zen and makes you want to be calm, right? So there's all kinds of different stories that we can tell with Zootopia.
Thank you so much for joining us today, dropping these amazing gems. And
it was so fun.
Hopefully, you know, we can stay connected. Just thank you so much. And making the time, you know, in between all the jet setting you have to do. It's been really awesome hearing your perspective and getting to pick your brain today.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share.
If you liked this episode, stay tuned for more. And remember to subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. For a little bit more magic, be sure to follow us at Disney Careers on all social platforms. And check out our open opportunities on DisneyCareers.com. We'll see you real soon. This episode was brought to life by Ali Fisher, Jaren Kaufman, Laura Pilot, Ruth Hallamy, and John Hughes. Editing was done by Alexis Gonzalez-Flores. Music arranged and produced by Nat Young Music Group Incorporated. Design and graphics by Weilin Zhang. And a special thank you goes out to the Walt Disney Company Asia Pacific teams.